Now to these microphones, we bring Mike Gendron. He has a ministry that is basically focused on winning Catholics to Jesus Christ. I say that may be not correct in its essence, because he wants to win anybody to Jesus Christ who does not know them at this point in time, especially in light of the times in which we are living. Mike, thank you so very much for joining us. How about right from the very beginning, give us your website so people can make contact with your ministry.
Yes, Jimmy, you are right. We would love to see all lost people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we've provided a great number of resources, including gospel tracts, to reach them, and they are on our website at proclaimingthegospel.org. So we invite your listeners to come and take a look at what we have to offer.
You know, materials are available at Mike's website for the purpose of, hey, when you stop to have a meal someplace, leave a tract there. Or when you go to the bank to make a deposit or a withdrawal, whichever, leave a tract there. This is a great opportunity to be able to get the attention of someone, let them read a little tract that has been printed up for the purpose of bringing them to Jesus Christ. Well, Mike, here's why I got a hold of you for this time here on Prophecy Today. And we always focus on what is happening at the Vatican in Rome when we have a conversation with you. Earlier this week, the ex-pope or former pope, Pope Benedict, said that God told him to resign. Now, this resignation was unique. Over the last 600 years, I think, nobody has done that who's had that position there as Pope of the Catholic Church. But the time came when Pope Benedict got a mystical experience from the Lord telling him to resign. Talk to me about this whole situation. I want to dig into the charismatic movement and how prevalent this is among all Catholics. But thinking first focus on Pope Benedict and his mystical experience.
Yes, it was really interesting to read that this mystical experience actually took place over several months. It's really interesting the Pope would say that God told him to resign. I find it fascinating that God has told this Pope a lot of things in his written, infallible, inspired word, but he ignores those words and chooses to obey this mystical experience. And some of the things that the Pope has rejected as far as God's word, clearly, there is one mediator between God and man, that's the man Christ Jesus. So the Pope should have stepped down because he thought he was a mediator between God and man. And that's the written word of God. And we also see that there's one gospel, and the Pope was obviously proclaiming a different gospel, leading over a billion souls to a Christless eternity. But he said that God inspired him to have an absolute desire to dedicate his life to prayer rather than push on as a pope. Well, it's fascinating, isn't it, Jimmy, that we have two popes for the first time in 600 years. I thought it was interesting that the current Pope Francis said the last time there were two or three popes, they didn't talk among themselves because they were fighting over who was the true pope. But in this case, one has actually stepped down, and Pope Benedict said that he felt like he was in the will of God because Pope Francis has such charisma and he is leading the Roman Catholic religion really in a different way than he did.
Have you any idea or evidence of previous times that Pope Benedict would have had some type of a mystical experience? I understand exactly what you're talking about. Well, the authentic Word of God, the inspired Word of God, told him several things that he totally ignored, but he seems to be more into mysticism than he was in really studying God's Word. But are there any other evidences of this?
Not so much with Pope Benedict. He has not been really involved in the charismatic movement as much as John Paul II was. But I find it fascinating that when he said that God spoke to him, this is totally different from his reason for resigning back in February. If our listeners remember, his reason for resigning back then, and I quote, "My strengths, due to an advanced age, are no longer suited to an adequate exercise of the Petrine ministry." And so his resignation back in February had nothing to do with God speaking to him. So once again, we see a contradiction with this pope. more the reason for Roman Catholics to look to the inspired, infallible Word of God for truth rather than listening to a man who can't even get it right on why he resigned.
You mentioned Pope John Paul, who was very, very popular among all Catholics and, in fact, among people across the world. And, in fact, he was very much involved in the charismatic movement. Is it prevalent in Catholicism, this mystical type of a religiosity or a charismatic type of movement in Catholicism?
Well, yes, Jimmy, it is very prevalent. In fact, I had the privilege of meeting the founder of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Movement at Notre Dame University. That movement actually was started by Dennis Ranahan in 1967, and I had the opportunity to meet with him and share a testimony of how God led me out of the darkness of Roman Catholicism into the light of Jesus Christ. And in my testimony, I gave a lot of scriptures for the reason for coming out of Catholicism. And he said that he has been talking with Protestant charismatics for many, many years. He's never heard a testimony that contains so much scripture. And I think that's very telling because in the charismatic movement, doctrine is not important. They actually suppress doctrinal truth so that they can have unity among Catholics and Protestants. And so we see this is another prophetic bridge to the one world religion where charismatics are coming together, ignoring the gospel, ignoring doctrine, and coming together for the unity of all those who profess faith in Jesus Christ.
Mike, give our listeners eavesdropping on this conversation somewhat of a simple, not the, you know, in-depth definition of the charismatic movement. Let's make sure that's on the table, and then I want to continue to follow the lines of our discussion.
Well, the charismatic movement, and I hate to broad brush anything because there are different fringes within the movement, but for the most part, they emphasize the experience rather than doctrine. And so it's more about having unity in the Spirit, having unity among all people. In the Catholic Charismatic Movement, they really emphasize devotion to Mary, devotion to the Eucharist. And so when John Paul was the Pope, he really encouraged unity with Protestant charismatics. And it's really fascinating because, Jimmy, as you know, in prophecy, there will be a false prophet that will lead the world to worship the Antichrist. And I really believe that the office of the Pope is that false prophet if we're in the season of the Lord's return.
When we think about this information, charismatic, you might better, if you're listening to us right now, understand it as speaking in tongues, divine healing. And this is somewhat of a broad brush, as Mike said, he did not want to use, but I wanted to define it a little bit more distinctly so that we have an understanding of all the activities of the Spirit. And this is, I believe it's very dangerous, as you've just mentioned, because it's braining those non-Catholics together with the Catholics, and they're joining together to form an ecumenical type of operation that leads right into Revelation 17, coupling that with the fact that Revelation 13 talks about Satan and Antichrist performing signs, wonders, and miracles. Jesus Christ referred to it in Matthew 24, in verses 4, 5, 11, and 24 in particular. And, of course, that is how the world's going to come together through signs, wonders, and miracles at the end, Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 to 16. So this movement, braining the two, the Protestants and the Catholics together, the movement itself is moving towards Revelation 17, isn't it?
Well, it's true. In fact, when you look at the description of the false prophet in Revelation 13 and 17, many of the characteristics of that false prophet are seen in the office of the papacy. He usurps God's infallibility. He condemns all who believe God's gospel. He receives worship that is due only to God. He steals titles from the triune God. And, Jimmy, you know that the Pope wears the title Holy Father, Head of the Church, and Vicar of Christ. Those are titles reserved for the triune God alone, but the papacy steals those. He also exercises power over the souls of men, and he is said to do that with unhindered power. And so we really see the prophetic implications of this when this Pope Benedict, who resigned, said he had a word from the Lord. That is so common among charismatics. They hear a word from the Lord, and this, of course, will lead us into the false prophet pointing the world to Antichrist, who declares himself to be the true Christ. And, Jimmy, I think it's important to note here that Catholics already worship a false Christ. They worship the Eucharistic Christ, which is said to be the physical body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, who comes down every day to be offered up again on an altar and to be worshipped in the form of the Eucharist. So when the Pope points the world to another Christ in the end times, they've already been worshiping another Christ in the Eucharist. So it's very conceivable to see how easily deceived people will be when Antichrist comes on the scene.
Talk to me. Do you think this is increasing both in Catholicism and across the general view of religiosity, i.e. so-called Christianity today?
Well, I really do, because the strategy of the Roman Catholic religion is to unite all of professing Christianity under the power and influence of the Pope. We see many evangelicals today that are embracing Roman Catholicism as a valid expression of Christianity. We need another Reformation, because clearly evangelical leaders today have forgotten what the Reformers were brutally tortured and murdered for defending the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it really disheartens me, as I'm sure it does you, Jimmy, to see this unity, this false unity, this man-made unity. You know, there is one unity that we are to maintain, and that's the unity of the Holy Spirit for all those who have been baptized by the Spirit into one body. But we're seeing a false unity, and this is prophetic as well, as we see in the Scriptures.
You mentioned that prevalent among charismatics is they got a word from God. Well, I got a word from God, the more sure word of prophecy, and that's in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Peter said, I had an experience, but we now have a more sure word of prophecy. And that's a fantastic thought from God's holy word, the absolute authority. Mike, thank you so very much, my good friend. Appreciate it so much, and I'm sure we'll have other conversations down the way.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Jimmy. Take care.